I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, my commentary on why we all need to pay attention to the news this week, even if we don't want to. But first, back to Haiti for a minute. Actually, back to one of the many gifts that Haiti has given us. A rich musical tradition is surely one of them. And if Wyclef Jean is one of the best-known artists of Haitian ancestry in the U.S., Joey Omicile would likely qualify as the most eclectic. His mastery of just about every wind instrument, combined with his extraordinary ability to mix sounds, has turned his new album, Roots and Grooves, into a musical world journey. It roams through Afro jazz, Haitian kumpa music, soul, and gospel. We caught up with Joey Omicile earlier this month to talk about his latest album and the presidential elections in Haiti, where his friend, singer, and candidate Michel Martelly, also known as Sweet Mickey, was working hard to energize the youth vote. Before he performed for us, I asked him to first introduce his band.
Today with me, I have on drums Harvel Nekundi, who represent Haiti and Zaire, and then I have on tabla Jeff Dean, who actually is very active here in the community. He's represent India. And I have Carlos Alabasi from Venezuela, who's playing the upright bass. And I also have on the keys Harold St. Louis, who's from Haiti, basically. So we all rooted, and it's a great combination right here.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, hi, everybody.
Hey. We're getting a collective hey from everybody. Okay. Well, thank you for that. You are, as we mentioned, of Haitian descent. You were born in Montreal and you live in Miami now. Would you just tell us a little bit about your musical roots? I mean, I understand that your dad was a minister. Did you grow up in a musical household?
Actually, I didn't really, you know, but there was instrument being played at some point because my oldest sister, Liette, she played the organ for the church, but I don't really recall her practicing much. And basically, that's how I grew up. My dad was a minister, teacher, and, you know, plenty of gospel music, Christian music. And why I mention my dad so much is because I lost my mom when I was 5, so I don't really have a bright scope of recollections of her, you know, of souvenirs, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my dad was really active, and he's an amazing man.
Was your first instrument the saxophone? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
That was the first
instrument
thing you... How did you pick that up?
Well, you know, my dad, again, you know, he wanted me to play an instrument to accompany the church. So he suggested that my brother and I, was younger than I, he started with the trumpet, and my dad was, what are you going to play? So I was like, okay, I want to play the piano. And then when I got to the music school, the teacher was like, no, you ain't playing no piano here. I have too many pianists here. So you got to just choose another instrument. And then I was like, okay, like, I want this one. And this one was the alto saxophone. So that's how I started with the sax, you know, the alto sax primarily.
It sounds like your dad was looking to put a band together.
That was always his dream. He wanted a symphony, actually.
That's nice. Well, let's play. Well, let's play some music. We're going to talk about, tell us a little bit about Emily's Groove before we hear.
Wow. You chose the right song to start it off with because Emily's Groove was written last. So it was written the day prior to the recording session. And I recorded that song in New York at my brother-in-law's crib. And Emily's is his daughter. So she was just sitting on his lap and she was just playing. And then... he just put on the track, and I heard that melody pop. Ba-da-dam. I'm like, wow. I'm like, that, those two notes. I can do something with that. So that's how Emily's Groove, you know, came about, really. It was just the night prior the session. You know, it's just an amazing song, and it's a pleasure for me to play it for you today.
Thank you for that. Okay. You know what I wanted to ask, though, is that one of the things that you are known for is your mastery of pretty much anything that you can blow. Okay. Mm. And how did that what happened? Are you just greedy to know everything, or how did that come about? You play everything.
Yeah, I like to experiment. I'm like that. I always like to say I'm in the lab. I'm always in the lab because I'm always trying to create something. So to tell you the truth, Michelle, when I started with the alto, I was never satisfied with the sound. So I was seeking. Then I went into the soprano sax. And I was still seeking. And then I went into the flute. Then I'm like, you know what? I like the piccolo a lot today. So it was really, you know, just my eagerness to experiment. You know, I always want to learn. I'm learning every day, basically.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I am visiting with Joey Omisile, and we're talking about his new album, Roots and Grooves, and whatever else is on his mind. Of course, you know, we mentioned that your roots are in Haiti. You were born in Montreal. You're living in Miami now. But the disaster earlier this year in Haiti has ripples, you know, far beyond Haiti and into the diaspora. And I'd like to ask how you responded to that event, and has that event affected your music in some way?
Yes, it did. It did. I can't answer the last part of the question right away. It did affect my music. It affect the way I see life. It affect the way I play. It affect my perception of sound. And, you know, I responded right away myself and Sweet Mickey, the artist, and the man Michel Martelli. Actually, we recorded a song with Black Dada, actually, you know. You see the marriage right there. It's like R&B and compa and jazz all together. What's going on?
I see my people's dying. From far, I hear the kids, they're crying. They have no place to go.
With his son, Big O, we produced that song. We call it What's Going On. And it's all the proceeds goes to Haiti. It's on iTunes. Every day, you know, I go through it. And some Haitian tell me, you know, you how you feel? You here in Miami. You good? I'm like, no, I'm not good. I'm not good because my people are suffering, and they're right across. They're right across the water, literally. And you telling me I'm good? You think I'm good? I cannot even go there right now. They're fighting. They have cholera right now. I can't go there because I might get infected.
Sure.
And I cannot help them. I can't send money. I can't do more. I can't write more music. I can't do that. But as far as being there with them, I would love to be on the ground and be safe, just like, you know, we pretend to be here, you know. So it's a plight.
I understand what you're saying. It's a sense of frustration that you can't do
definitely
more. There is a cut on this album, a track on your new album, which I think is dedicated to the people of Haiti, called For My People.
Yeah, My People.
Well, do you want to play that one next?
Yeah, okay. I would love to play For My People. It's dear to me, and let's play it. Let's just dedicate it to the people. Thank you.
Well, finally, Haiti is faced with a new challenge. Of course, it's not on the order of the earthquake, but you know, as we know, elections are coming soon, and there was all this discussion around, you know, Wyclef Jean running for the presidency, and ultimately he was disqualified because he was deemed not to meet the core requirement, which is residency. Do you mind if I ask you, do you have any feelings about that, about his candidacy? Did you feel that he was, I don't know if you know him, did you feel he was genuine in his pursuit of the office? And what do you think about that?
I know Wyclef, but I never had spoken to him about running for the president seat, so I didn't really know what was his MO, really, or his vision. But at the same token, you know, Sweet Mickey, Michel Martelly, is running, and I know why he's running, and I've seen what he's done. So I would say that I think that at this point right now, I want to hope that every single person that's running for office right now, the presidency, should have the people at heart first. Or otherwise, I'm not down with them.
I hear you.
Well, I will say just that.
Okay. Well, speaking of which, you actually have already met one president, President Obama.
Obama, actually, you know what? I met his house, but I didn't meet
him. He wasn't there. You performed at the White House.
I performed there, but
he wasn't
there.
That's a shame.
That was a shame, but it's okay. You know, he welcomed us in his house. And then, you know, it was the first time, actually, Michelle, that the Haitian had the Flag Day celebration in the White House, at the White House.
So, and you performed at that?
Yeah, and then they allowed only 50 guests. And I was honored to be a part of those guests, and we played there. I mean, I want to go back this time to play with my band, actually. I just went solo that time. That would be the
next
one.
Well, we'd like to come, too. So, you know, we'll carry your equipment. And,
thank you. We'll be together. Tell me more, and Joe will be so going
exactly
to the White House. There you go.
What would you like to play as we
take our leave?
All right, Kubashando. Okay, Joey Omisio's latest album is called Roots and Grooves. He's obviously dying to get into his roots and his grooves, so let's let him do that. He and his other band members were kind enough to join us from member station WLRN in Miami. Joey Omisio, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you to you, Michelle Bosch. That's what I say.
If you want to hear full songs performed by Joey Omisio in studio, please go to the programs menu of npr.org and select Tell Me More.